This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series on In His Presence, and we were looking yesterday at how pride has no place. If we want to walk in His presence, we must walk in humility, because proud people don't pray. And this is why we need to develop a prayer life, and we need to develop the discipline of praying on a daily basis. And not just praying when things get really bad in our lives, but praying in the good times as well as in the bad. Because we recognize that this is a relationship. Because again, I don't talk to my wife just because I want her to do something. I talk to her because I love her, and the same way with the Lord is, if we love the Lord, we will talk to Him, and that's all that prayer is. It's communication with God. And we see that regarding how pride has no place, Satan is an example to us, because the Bible talks about how, verse 17 of Ezekiel 28, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. So Satan's heart was lifted up in pride, and he was kicked out of heaven. And Luke 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. If God dealt with the archangel who led the very worship of heaven in this manner, what makes you think that he will indulge pride in you or I, in spite of whatever talents or abilities or giftings we may have? I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So as quick as lightning, God kicked him out of heaven because of the pride of his heart. James 4 and verse 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you want to have grace in your life? Then you need to humble yourself before the Lord. Because God gives grace to the humble. However, he resists the proud. So again, if we're proud, God will be resisting us and not helping us. The English Standard says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So here the Bible says that God resists or opposes the proud. And if God is resisting you or opposing you, you know that things won't go well for you. This is the truth. Some doors aren't closed by the devil. They're closed by God. And you can bind and rebuke, and you can pray and fast, and you can cry and wail all you want. But sometimes God sees that you're not ready. And that's why he leaves the door closed, because he realizes you're not ready to walk through that door yet. You know, I don't know how many people have left the church offended over the years because their great gift wasn't recognized. And it's probably not the only thing we recognized, because sometimes you can recognize pride working with a person, or ambition or arrogance. And, you know, at times people complain how God is not using their great talent. But to be honest, if you just listen to them for a few minutes, you will discover why they're proud. Philippians 2 and verse 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Because again, if you take the attitude, I'm the most qualified, I'm the most anointed person in the room, I'm the most able, I'm the most deserving, I'm the most worthy, you have no realization of how far you are from God, how far you are from where God wants you to be. The Bible says, in humility, value others above yourselves. And it's not talking about making yourself a doormat or false humility. Oh, I could never do this and I could never do that. No, Paul the Apostle had a good attitude. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So he didn't preclude himself from being used by God, but he just simply took the attitude, I can't do it in my ability. I can only do it in his. And the reality is this, proud people are always full of themselves, but humble people are full of God. I know what I want to be full of. I want to be full of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 in the New Living. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So love endures through every circumstance. Love will teach us to endure, you know, to humble ourselves before the Lord. So Romans 12 and verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment according to the measure of faith God has given to you. I think this is an important principle, because Philippians 2:2, Romans 12:3, essentially they're saying the same thing. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, because if we've an inflated opinion of ourselves, then, you know, God can't use us. And again, it doesn't matter how powerfully God uses us. Let's remind ourselves, it's his gift, it's his ability, it's his calling. If we can do something well, then give him glory for that fact. If you can write well or preach well or sing well, or if you're good in business or you're a gifted artist, we're just stewards of the gifts God has given to us. And so no matter how powerfully God uses us, there is no place for pride. And, you know, let's be honest. How many of us have been guilty of focusing on ourselves and our needs far too much? How many of us have been guilty of thinking and talking too much about ourselves? You know, this is the reality. So many of the problems in the world and also in the church are rooted in pride and selfishness and narcissism. It was St. Augustine who said, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." Think about that. Pride turned angels into devils, and humility makes us as angels. That's not, yeah, don't take it out of context. It's not saying, you know, we literally become angels, but it just means humility changes our demeanor, it changes our behavior, it changes our attitude. I'll be honest, anytime I've been offended, anytime, you know, I've allowed my feelings to be hurt or become offended, in reality, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of that is just rooted in pride and thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Moses was a tremendous leader, probably the greatest leader that ever lived. He was greatly used by God. If you think of it, to lead over a million or 2 million people through the desert over the course of 40 years, and they were quite a difficult bunch. And yet God used them, like I said, to confront Pharaoh and confront, I guess, what was the world's superpower at the time, and to lead his people, like I said, through a very difficult time and a very difficult environment. But the Bible says he was a very humble man. In spite of the fact that he was a leader of millions of people, he was a humble man. Moses didn't seek the position. He didn't even want it, really. He tried to talk God out of it in Exodus chapter 3. And he didn't dominate. Rather, he served the people. So the question is not, can God open a door for you? But rather, can he trust you with his sheep? Can he trust you when he opens the door? Because sometimes power can go to people's heads and it can change people. And the question is, can you use your ministry to build people, or will you use people to build your ministry? Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Isaiah 66 and 2, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." So again, who are the people God looks on with favor, and who are the people that God works with? Those who are humble, those who are contrite in spirit, and those who tremble at the word of God. And so, and this is why, again, I mean, for a generation that say, "Well, I know the Bible says X, but this is what I think." People questioning the word of God, really, that's pride. People arrogantly deciding they know better than the Bible. And if we think we know better than the Bible, we're in big trouble, because the Word of God is our foundation. And so when it talks about trembling at the Word of God, it means having such a high regard for the Word of God, having such a tremendous respect and regard for what the Bible says, that you would tremble at the thought of disobeying it. That's not talking about legalism. That's talking about the fear of God. Because this is the thing. First, you get a hold of the message, but then the message gets a hold of you. Was it Wesley said, first the man reads the Bible, then the Bible reads the man? It was either Wesley or Moody, but, you know, that's the reality, is that first we get a hold of the Bible, but then the Bible gets a hold of us. And, you know, I remember 32 years ago, my mom giving me a Bible as a young 18-year-old man and reading the Bible, and I got a hold of the Bible, but then the Bible started to get a hold of me, and it started to change me and change my attitudes and deal with the sin in my life and give me a sense of vision and destiny and calling. And, you know, I can honestly say the Bible has changed my life. And if you will give time to the Bible, it will change your life. And so today, as we finish, Lord, we just thank you for your word and for the tremendous opportunity we have to study it and to read and to grow and to learn. And to thank you so much for all you do for us. We love you, Lord, and help us to walk in your presence, in Jesus' precious name. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. Shalom.